Rochi sa, sva rochi sa, dutiya, second, tu, indeed, mano, mano, agne, av agni, suta, sun, abhavat, became, jumat, jumat, sushena, sushena, rochismat, rochismat, pramukha, beginning with them, asya, of him, sha, also, atmaja, sons. The son of Agni named Svarochisa became the second Manu. His several sons were headed by Juma, Sushena, and Rochismat. Purport, there are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality, Godhead Manu, the Manu Putras, the king of the heavenly planets, and the seven sages are all partial incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Manu himself, his sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapad, demigods created by Daksha and the rishis like Marichi, were all partial incarnations of the Lord during the reign of Svayambhuva Manu. During that time, the incarnation of the Lord as Yajna took charge of ruling the heavenly planets. The next Manu was Svarochisa. The Manus and sages and demigods are further described in the following 11 verses. During the reign of Svarochisa, the post of Indra was assumed by Rochana, the son of Yajna. Tushita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stumba, and others became the seven saints. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord. Vedasira was a very celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar named Vibhu. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. So Vibhu was the Manvantara avatar. O king, the third Manu, Uttama, was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of this Manu were Pavana, Sanjaya, and Yagyahotra. During the reign of the third Manu, Pramada and other sons of Vasishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, Veda, Srutas, and Bhadras became demigods, and Satyajit was selected to be Indra, king of heaven. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared from the womb of Sunrata, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasena, and he appeared with other demigods known as Satyavratas. Satyasena, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven, Indra, killed all the untruthful, impious, misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living beings. The brother of the third Manu, Uttama, was celebrated by the name of Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. Tamasa had 10 sons headed by Pritu, Kyati, Nara, and Ketu. During the reign of Tamasa Manu, among the demigods were the Satyakas, Haris, and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trisika, meaning three sikas on his head. The sage and Saptarshi Dharma was headed by Jyotir Dharma. Text 29. O king, in the Tamasa Manvantara, the sons of Vidriti, who were known as the Vidritis, also became demigods. Since in course of time the Vedic authority was lost, these demigods by their own powers protected the Vedic authority. Purport, in the Tamasa Manvantara, there were two kinds of demigods, and one of them were known as the Vidritis. The duty of the demigods is to protect the authority of the Vedas. The word Devata refers to one who carries the authority of the Vedas, whereas the Rakshasas are those who defy the Vedic authority. If the authority of the Vedas is lost, the entire universe becomes chaotic. Therefore, it is the duty of demigods, as well as kings and aides of governments, to give full protection to the Vedic authority. Otherwise, human society will be in a chaotic condition in which there cannot be peace or prosperity. Also in this Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimeda, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. King Parikshit said, "Oh, my lord Badarayini, we wish to hear from you in detail about how the king of elephants, when attacked by the crocodile, was delivered by Hari. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead Uttama Sloka is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good." Purport: the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as Bhagavad Gita and Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears them, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully. By the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of 8th canto, verse chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, Manu, the Manu's administrators of the universe. So this series of verses was about the Manus. We heard about Swayambhuva Manu, and he had sons, etc., like Dhruva, are like Priyavrata and Uttanapada, and Dhruva was a descendant. And we have, of course, this story here of how Yajna appeared and protected Swayambhuva. Describe. That was what? Tamasa. And then he is described along with the Manvantara avatar, Devatas, etc. And then the fourth one is also described. In this way we have Uttama was the third. Uttama was the fourth after Tamasa. No, Uttama was the third, and Tamas was the fourth. Okay, and he was the brother of Uttama. Uttama was the son of Priyavrata. But Rochisa was not involved in that. He was not descending from Priyavrata at all. He was son of Agni, so he was different. But the other ones are descendants from Priyavrata's line, it looks like. So the brother of Uttama, the third Manu, was Tamasa, the fourth Manu. And then in his reign, we get the appearance of Hari. That is the Manvantara avatar. And then Hari is the form of the Lord who killed Gajendra, or saved Gajendra from the crocodile. So then the whole list of Manus is interrupted here. And we get to the fourth Manu, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. All that is not discussed here, because the next chapter deals with the whole story of Gajendra, because Parikshit asked the question about how did Hari kill the crocodile and save Gajendra. So we get the story of Gajendra here. So this happened during fourth Manvantara, which is, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning in Brahma's day or so. So in this way we have more or less in sequence in the fourth canto, the discussion from the fourth canto onwards, the discussion of Swayambhuva and his reign and others involved in that reign, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto, etc., until we get to the eighth canto here. So eighth canto, we're up to the fourth Manvantara. And then we also get other things up to the fifth and the sixth Manvantara, including Matsya, who appeared at the end of Chakshusha Manvantara. And then, of course, in ninth and tenth, we get up to Vaivasvata Manvantara there. But within this eighth canto, we'll also get a description of the future Manvantaras afterwards. So in this way, the eighth canto is kind of dedicated to the discussion of the Manvantara reigns, and we have here the particular elements of each reign. So in this purport here for this verse, it described there were six elements there. The Manu, Manu's sons, the Devatas, Indra, the sages, and incarnation of the Lord. So those are the six elements that appear with each Manvantara period. We get a Manu, we get his descendants, we get a change of the demigods and a change of Indra, we get a change of the rishis, and we get an avatar. So that procedure was followed in describing Sarochisa, Uttama, Tamas, etc. They each have their separate set of demigods, rishis, etc. So that means these are posts, except for the Supreme Lord, the Manvantara avatar. The others are posts that are taken up. And the same names are used every day of Brahma. So we get a Svayambhuva Manu, and Asarochisa Manu, and Uttama Manu, and Tamasa Manu, etc. One after the other, we get the Manus in the same. But they're different persons, different jivas are taking up those roles. So, as I mentioned yesterday, these are the bhutis of the Lord. We don't put them in the avatar category, literally, because they have temporary assignments of power only, not permanent. Shaktivesh avatars have permanent assignment of powers, so we distinguish them from these forms here. And the powers are less as well. Some, as I said, are material in the sense that they institute dharma and govern the world. Others are spiritual, the rishis, preserve the Vedas, etc. So those two roles are there for these personalities. So, the universe is defined in terms of place and time. The universe has particular places in it. Those were discussed in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where we have the Bhumandala, upper planetary systems, lower planetary systems all described. So that's the place. The universe has places in it so living entities can exist. The whole purpose of that explanation of the fifth canto was to show that the Lord provides places for the living entities. And what happens in those places? We have bodies of living entities. What are they got bodies for? So they can enjoy. So in each particular place, we have living entities there, and they're enjoying in some sort with their material bodies. So this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. This takes place through time. So there we have the time aspect in terms of days of Brahma and subdivided into Manvantara periods, which we're discussing here. And then subdivided further into yuga cycles, 71 yuga cycles within the Manvantara period. So that is the basic time arrangement of the Supreme Lord. We have units of days, like we have days here and nights here. So Brahma has days, universe has days and nights. And then within the day we have divisions of hours. So in the day of Brahma we have Manvantaras, 14 parts. And then, of course, within the day we have hours, and then we have minutes and so many things like that. We have 60 minutes. So instead of that, we have 71 yuga cycles in the day of in the Manvantara period. And furthermore, we divide the minute up into seconds. So similarly, the yuga cycle, we have further divisions of years, etc., like this. So, therefore, there is an arrangement within time. Now, the only problem with this time division is it's not that it is continuous and continuous and continuous. It has cycles of creation destruction within it. So, we have the Satya Treta Dwarpa Kali. And then, again, back to Satya again. So, Satya is the good part, then there's the generation, destruction, destruction, until we get to Kali Yuga. then we get, again, recreation again, and then it gradually dwindles down to Kali Yuga again. So we have these 4 million year cycles of creation and gradual dissolution. Not complete dissolution, but partial dissolution. Then after every Manvantara, we get another partial dissolution, which is more than the Yuga cycle, that is, the flood comes up and destroys a lot of things. Not everything, but a lot of things, particularly in the Bhumandala area. Then we have the day of Brahma. That destruction is, we could say, more or less complete. Everything goes underwater. And then darkness, nothing happens at night. Then recreation by Lord Brahma of all the planetary systems and living entities, bodies, etc., in the beginning of the day. So therefore the places are provided by the Lord, and time, specific time cycles are there in which certain events happen of creation, destruction. Yuga cycles, Manvantara periods, day of Brahma, creation, destruction, goes on like this. So there's some regularity in the system, not just haphazard. So it is within this broad pattern of the universe that we get individual jivas living and dying with their material bodies, trying to enjoy in the material world. So why are they there in the material world? In one sense, it's an unfortunate position because it's all covered by ignorance. And if we look at the first description of creation, what happens is that we have a material world called Prakriti, which is achit, not conscious at all, which is completely ignorant actually, but in a very subtle way. And by the inspiration of the Lord and injection of jivas and agitation by time, it gradually transforms into different types of ignorance. So we get Mahatattva and Ahankara and everything else evolving in the material universe. All basic offshoots of ignorance. Therefore the material world actually is not a very comfortable place to live in, because the jiva is conscious and the place is ignorance. Nevertheless, we get a whole creation of planets and systems and bodies within the material world, which look very nice. But it's all ignorance. So therefore the jiva is covered by ignorance of his body, and he's stuck in a world of ignorance. So why this whole endeavor? Why the Lord makes this endeavor? Because it's the jiva's desire. When he has an desire to enjoy like this, the Lord gives him the opportunities, provides him a body and provides him a place. And then he can go on enjoying. So not the Lord's fault. So only because of the jiva's desire we have this material world. So it is very ingeniously arranged so that it has all varieties. It has the worst and the darkest, and it has the best. So it has Patala Loka, which is the darkest, and then we have Satya Loka, which is the brightest and most full of knowledge. So there's opportunities for all sorts of jivas to fulfill their desires within this, according to their karma. So it is not a haphazard thing. All varieties are provided for in the material world, places and then bodies. So we get small bodies and big bodies, bodies in complete ignorance like trees, and bodies full of knowledge like Lord Brahma. So the Lord does not whimsically make the material world. It's provided with all varieties in it. In order that the jivas get out of this ignorant position and actually escape from the material world, then the Lord provides opportunity within these places of ignorance going through cycles of time. How does he do it? So this is one system. Manus, rishis, devatas, etc. They help the whole process. Then we have Manvantara Avatar. Lord himself comes and presides over. Then we get scriptures. So in this way, the Lord provides opportunity to that the jiva can get out of this material position of ignorance. So that is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Now we come to the particular story here of Gajendra Moksha in the fourth Manvantara period. So Gajendra got elephant body, full of ignorance. But he got the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He got out of his elephant body also by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord appeared particularly for Gajendra. He made his appearance as avatar in the material world. Of course, Hari is the Manvantara avatar, and he presides over that whole reign of Tamasa Manu. So, the Lord makes his appearance within the Manvantara period, one as the Manvantara avatar, like Hari, or here in the case of Swayambhuva was Yajna. He does that, and he appears constantly as the Yuga avatar, giving the Yuga Dharma. So those are the constant features. The periodic things are the Lila avatars that appear. They're not appearing every Yuga, not appearing every Manvantara, etc. So therefore Krishna only appears once, Rama only appears once, Parsarama appears once in the day of Brahma, in Vaivasvata Manvantara. Others may appear three times or two times, Varaha appears two times, Nishimadeva once. So in this way, those are rare appearances. So in this way, the Lord directly gives inspiration in the material world. So he does not leave the material world. He appears in different forms as avatar, and he makes arrangements for these vibhutis to rule on his behalf and guide the living entities. So the Lord is not indifferent to the material creation at all. However, in one sense, all of this is secondary for the Lord, because he is in the spiritual sky, engaging in pastimes with his devotees eternally. And there's no material bodies there at all. So that's a much preferable state, where there is no matter and ignorance, etc., and demons, etc. So here we have the opposite. Material world Lord comes, but there is some obstacles. There is matter, there are demons, so many things are here. Nevertheless, the Lord comes, and he's unaffected by it. But the preferable state is the eternal state in the spiritual world. Therefore, the jivas who are in the material world get the benediction of going to the spiritual world. They do not necessarily pray for that. They simply pray to serve the Lord. But nevertheless, position of the spiritual world is eternal. Material world is creation, destruction. So, in comparison to that, the spiritual world is preferable. So therefore, the Lord makes arrangements for the devotees in the material world to get to the spiritual world. It's a more favorable situation for them. And he provides the methods by which that can be done. So that is happening throughout the day of Brahma. So therefore, the Lord is not indifferent to the material world. He is in all ways assisting. Well, if jivas have desires and they want them fulfilled, we know that the Lord is the fulfiller of desires of the jiva, materially or spiritually. If the Lord does not fulfill the desires of the jivas in the material world, then he'll also be considered cruel. If he doesn't do anything for the jivas in the material world, they can't do anything. They just sit here frustrated forever. They never get enjoyment, nor do they get out of the material world. So that's a hellish position. They just simply sit here, frustrated because they can't get any enjoyment. So therefore, the Lord gives this, but with conditions, that is karma, so many limitations are there, to encourage them to get out of their ignorant position. Well, he has eternal consciousness, ability to know. And if we say, where did he get the knowledge from? Because he was here previously. previous universe. He has unending karma, unending birth in the material world. Yeah, Hari is just a general name we call Krishna Hari because he takes away pain or he delivers you from the material world or whatever like that. These Yajna is a particular name of the first Manvantara avatar. He's also the name of Vishnu in general, Yajna. So we say all the names in one sense are general names as well. But they're also particular names of these Manvantara avatars. Of what? Well, we can get the Matsya one with Satyavrata. That's one destruction. Yeah, then the Matsya comes, the water covers everything, and then the fish come, fish cover. So Matsya comes 14 times in the day of Brahma after each destruction cycle. But so similar to the one after Chakshusha Manvantara, that's the one described where Satyavrata appeared and became the next Manu in Vaivasvata's, he became Vaivasvata Manu. Yeah, well, somehow Agni's son became the Manu. Yeah, but the others were sons of Priyavrata, and then his brother was Tamasa. Uttama was son of Priyavrata, Tamasa was his brother. So those other descendants seem to be in the same line, but he was, second one was Agni's son. According to the Lord's will and their qualification, they can go anywhere. They can become Brahma in another cycle of time or whatever, according to qualification.